And once again, let's just pray together before we look into the Word. Thank you, our Father, tonight for who you are. Lord God, that we could see you tonight, even as Isaiah did, as being holy and high and lifted up. We know, dear God, that the angels surround you even tonight and praise you. Thank you, Lord God, tonight that we're encompassed with such a cloud of witnesses. Lord God, I just thank you tonight that we have full assurance and know that one day we will be with you throughout eternity. Lord, I know that we have an enemy that would want to rob the joy of our salvation from us. I pray, Lord, tonight that as we look into these things and think on these things, that we would be excited and anticipate your coming. Lord, that if you tarry, that we would be happy to serve you here and be thankful for what we have in Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, before we look into the Word tonight, what had sparked this thought in my mind about, I got thinking about, I've just entitled this devotional, and I want to do this devotionally tonight, Crowns and Rewards. And what got me thinking about it is when I started to develop this Sunday school contest, I was sharing with somebody, I want us to have a contest that the participants and the rest of us know how it works. And it should be fun. And it should be beneficial. And I have two goals with the contest, that those who participate and who are in our Sunday school would have a better appreciation for God's Word, would learn how the Bible works and who God is. And also that they would have a zeal to reach out into the community, into the lost community, and have a burden for the lost. Just two goals. And I think that should sort of be the mandate of our church, seeing that it's the Great Commission and so on. Then I thought, if we have a contest, there has to be a winner. And if there's a winner, there also has to be a loser. And if it happens to be in two teams, there will be two teams, the prosperous planters and the successful sowers. One of the two teams will win, one will lose. But we have to have it in such a way, and we're used to doing this because when we used to have competitions with Native kids, we made it so the losers also won. There are no losers, and it got me thinking about crowns and rewards as believers. Do you know there are no losers? If tonight you're here and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to be with the Lord for all of eternity, your sins are forgiven, gone. You're not a loser, you're a winner. And even though at the Bema Seat you might suffer loss because of loss of reward and so on, you're still a winner. And I got thinking, I wanted to read this verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it just says this, "But without faith it's impossible to please him." And I got thinking about that, and prosperity gospel, the blab and grab gospel that's sometimes preached and taught today, and I've been reading through Genesis, and it came to my mind that when it came time for Isaac to be born, Sarah didn't believe God. And it's interesting because there will be those who will say that if you only had faith, she didn't. She thought, this is ridiculous. She laughed. And the truth of the matter is, we can count on God's word. What God says he will do, he will do. It's not dependent on whether you believe him or whether you don't. Truth of the matter is, I decided a long time ago that God's word is true, and I believe him. I don't always understand some of the things that go on round about me. But I do know tonight that he is a rewarder of, how does it say here, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in tonight, if you diligently seek the Lord, seek the Lord's face, seek the Lord's word, he will reward you. And I got thinking about rewards. And just for the fun of it tonight, I thought I would show you some of my rewards. I have this 10-year pin, Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. The idea is when you're a missionary with NCEM, every 5 years you get a pin. I don't have a 5-year pin. I didn't lose it. I didn't go to that conference, so they wouldn't give me one. No, I didn't ask. If I would have asked, they would have mailed one. But it's kind of interesting because here's a reward. You line up with all the other missionaries who've been there for 10 years and a lot of people there, 200 missionaries and guests and so on, and they pray for you and they're thankful. And it's just a sort of a little reward to show that you've been a member of this mission for that long, 10 years. I fell 1 year short of getting a 15-year pin. I don't know if they have a point something then, 14 and a half or whatever. I don't think so, so we won't bother with that. This one is a little thing, New Brunswick Bible Institute. I went there. This is a neat one because it was suggested you need one of these. Why? Well, because some of you guys in particular are going to different churches. They'll see that, you know, and they'll know you went to MBBI. It's sort of a little reward that you pay for yourself, and it costs a lot more than it's worth. But it's a reward, and it's a good idea to wear the thing. You can look over here to your right, and you can see this young lady. It's my reward for being so good-looking. There's all kinds of rewards. And I started thinking about the fact that there's eternal rewards, there's these temporal rewards. There's a biblical principle called sowing and reaping. You know, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes the circumstance or the situation you find yourself in is your reward. There have been times when somebody would recently be deceased, and I will say they went to their reward. Because if you said in a church service that so-and-so went to hell, it might offend someone. But if you were to say they went to their reward, people who are genuine believers understand. People who aren't may ask, what does that mean? What's your reward? And I want to tell you tonight, I'm thankful for what we have in Christ. It's a reward that I would have received and had done nothing for it. And I'm thankful tonight that we're able to and to participate in the game. A number of times in Scripture, God's walk of a believer is likened to a race or to a fight, a wrestling match, and so on. It's kind of interesting about the participants. And I started thinking about it, and I like to watch the Olympics, some of it, when it's on. And I noticed, and I should show you some more of my rewards. It was interesting to me. I have a crown here. Janessa made this for me during BBBS. So I have a crown to go with some of my other rewards. Hanging on the wall in my office, and this was priceless to me. Back, some time ago when we first moved here, I have quite a few sets of moose antlers and deer antlers and stuff in my barn. I have a set that Dad made for me in my office. And I also have necklace. This was given to me. I worked 8 years for Georgia Pacific. I couldn't find my bracelet tonight. But when I left there, they gave me a necklace and a bracelet, and I don't wear it much because it throws my neck out. But the idea was that this was fun for me because I had all these antlers. I'd put one set, and I don't know how come this was in my office. Ernie came in, and he said, those antlers are nice. Yeah. What are you going to do with the other ones? And I said, well, I'm going to hang one set up over the pulpit. I'm going to hang another set. I had him convinced and worried that I was going to put all my rewards all over the place. When you stop and think about it, in life, there's a number of rewards, and the reward usually has to do with an accomplishment or a failure. The wages of sin is death. You could say that death is an award. Your paycheck is an award. Do you know there's a reward for sin? There's pleasure in sin for a season, right? The Lord makes sure that you're rewarded for your sin. Then comes the consequence. So when you stop and think about this idea of the reward system, and you think of this idea of having played the game, some of you, a lot of us here, you know, there's hockey fans in this church. I think it would be fair to say that most of us are biblically sound enough to know that the Montreal Canadiens are one. But it's, have you ever thought about this? If you were to ask the team that came second, they played in the finals, they didn't get the Stanley Cup, but someone else did. If you were to ask them, would you rather have not played? They wouldn't say that. And one of the things that impressed me and I noticed about the Olympics, you would see this person who got a bronze medal or a silver medal, and you would never see them say, or you would never hear them say, so-and-so, or not very often, doesn't deserve the medal. I should have got it, and I'm not coming to the award ceremony because I didn't get an award. And the reason I'm saying some of this stuff is I have a couple of pet peeves, and one of them that I have, and I want to just say this very briefly, Pharisaical Christianity has ruined, in the mind of some people, what will take place at the marriage supper of the Lamb and our award ceremony. There are those who, and what got me thinking this, I can remember being in a theological debate with a pastor one time, and he got very upset at me, and he pointed his finger at me, and he says, "We'll find out at the Bema Seat who's right." And people have the idea that that the judgment seat of Christ is the place that we go to be punished for the sins of omission. Or it's the place that we go, and yes, at the Bema Seat, our works will be tried by fire, whether it's wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, or precious stones. That which endures the testing will endure forever, and there will be crowns. Interestingly enough, that I will take the crowns that I receive, if I receive any, and I will lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy. The other thing that I thought about as I looked at this and was thinking about awards and rewards in the judgment seat of Christ is just this. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, who's the judge? We're not going to sit there and make fun of the believer who loses rewards. And the idea is, but that's the theology of our day. And there are people who, it's like, I don't know, they almost dread the rapture. Why? Because we would look at, and there are those who would look at, that for some reason there's a punishment in heaven for what we didn't do. Now, somewhere along the line, we need to come to some determination of what does the Scripture say. Will there be sin in heaven? Will there be sinners in heaven? Sure, all of us, right? Sinners who have been saved. Is there suffering in heaven? Is there pain in heaven? Is there sorrow in heaven? Is there death in heaven? If I would ask those questions, you would all say no. Then on the other hand, if I were to ask you about certain things, the idea would be, but I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ because I know that I've fallen short and I may not receive a reward. I want to tell you, you may not receive one of the crowns, but our reward is twofold as far as I'm concerned. It has to do with our pilgrimage. It should be a privilege for me to walk for the Lord, to live for the Lord. We're rewarded daily in our Christian walk. I have fought the good fight, and so on. So when you stop and think about it, and I've looked at it, and one of the things that I believe has been robbed from us is the joy of what takes place after the rapture. Now, I jotted down here, I believe it's in Romans, Romans chapter 21 and verse 4. I've had people quote that to me a lot of times, that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So having said that, if you're going to use that verse to say that there will be tears and sorrow in heaven, you're going to also have to say that there's death, that there's pain, and that there's sorrow, because those three words are included in the same verse. Now if that's how you interpret it and that's how you think about it, those poor people who are in heaven right now are suffering. So, anyway, to lay that all aside, I just wanted to say, and my thought tonight is just this. When you take a look at sports, it's a privilege for the athlete to participate in the sport. It's good to win. It's wonderful to win. But have you ever noticed sometimes that they will celebrate the victory of another? I've seen times when somebody will beat their opponent, and their opponent will be glad for them. Did they suffer a loss? Yes. Is there a sense of sorrow? Certainly, because they've worked hard to reach this place and so on. Having said that, I jotted down for us tonight to enjoy and to think about five crowns that are available to believers. You know, one of the things that I like about this is when you stop and think about it, if you were to watch or participate in the Olympics or whatever, some sport, there's only one gold medal, there's only one silver medal, there's only one bronze, and the rest are you just lost, that's all. But if you were to ask the ones who lost, they were very pleased and enjoyed the participation. As believers tonight, it's interesting that everyone who deserves a crown will get it. isn't that there's only one crown of righteousness or one crown of glory. There's that crown for each one who deserves that crown. And as believers, my goal tonight was just this. We need to be in a place or come to a position somewhere along the line that we realize and recognize what a privilege and a joy it is to serve the Lord. One of the reasons tonight is there will be those who will receive an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. You don't have to turn there. How do I receive this incorruptible crown? Who will get this crown? What is it that I have to do? What is it that someone, all those who will receive this crown, what do they do to get it? I found it interesting that it has to do with temperance. It has to do with those who obey the rules. And if you were to look at a lot of sports, sometimes people play the game, but they don't 100% obey the rules, right? Sometimes they adjust things just a little bit. And then as I looked at this idea of this incorruptible crown, it also carried with it the idea is that there are those who keep in mind throughout their pilgrimage as a believer that they're not their own, they're bought with a price, and they take care of the temple that God has given them. For those folks who fit into that category, and I wouldn't be able to look at anyone tonight or myself and say I know people exactly, because I don't know when the Lord looks at these things exactly, everything that he looks for and how he judges these things. But I do know there's an incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25, for those who, we'll put it this way, to simplify it, those who obey the rules and have a respect for my I was bought with a price, and my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Number two, there's a crown of life. I found that interesting. James chapter 1, verse 12. And it has to do with those, there's two areas for this crown. One is those who endure temptation. And we could have fun with this tonight because, you know, in Proverbs we look at, how does it go? Well, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And we're all born with, we inherit a bent in a certain direction. We learn a certain way. One of the rules in logging that most people learn right off the bat is that a tree falls the way it leans. One of the things about a believer, do you know that we fall the way we lean? There are some things that people get involved in, it's not going to happen to me. I couldn't be tempted in certain areas, wouldn't be interested. Other areas that wouldn't interest you at all, I struggle with. And the idea is, this idea of a crown of life has to do with those who would endure temptation. It's when somebody is genuinely faced with a temptation to do a sin or to be involved in a sin. Maybe they've already been involved in it. Maybe it was a part of their lifestyle before they were saved. And now they're tempted to either resume or continue with this. And they're able to overcome with the help of the Lord and the help of God, the Holy Spirit, and other believers and so on. It has to do with enduring temptation. And the B part of that is also for those who would suffer for Christ's sake. And it gets interesting to me because I've talked with people, you know, a number of times who'll be going through a hardship or a difficulty or a trial or a tribulation or a problem. And the idea is, oh, I'm suffering for the Lord. And if you look at the person, you wonder, you're not living for the Lord. How could it be that you're suffering for the Lord? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tonight is when we're persecuted for Christ's sake. When for some reason we're in a situation where because we're Christians, because we stand on God's word, that we're persecuted or we're troubled or whatever from the world and so on. So crown of life has to do with enduring temptation and suffering for Christ, James 1 and 2. Thirdly, crown of righteousness, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. And this is an interesting one because we're going to take a look at the crown of rejoicing, rather, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 19. Now, as I looked this up and I read about it, there are some who would list this with the crowns, or some who would say this doesn't count because of the Greek grammar. And the idea is it has to do with those who would love his appearing. It would be those who are looking forward. How many of you are looking forward to the rapture? Now, if you're looking forward to the rapture, so you can sit over there and say that I told you so to me, and ha-ha, look at the crowns I get. that's too bad. But there are some who really anticipate and look forward to Christ's return. The rapture is the idea is not only would we escape, and I know there was a lady had mentioned to me a number of times that, what do you think of this? You know what we should be praying? We should be praying that the rapture take place today. She says, well, you can pray that if you want to. But I kind of have it in my mind that the Lord already knows when the rapture is going to be, and he's not going to change it for you or for me. As I have a series of prophecy tapes, Jerry Falwell. It was all good except for one point, and this amused me. Someone asked him, it was a lecture at Liberty Baptist College or whatever, and one of the things that he was asked was, what if somebody figured out the date of the rapture? And they figured it out and they made the announcement. What he said, and I hope he was kidding. He said, God would change it. So, anyway, I don't think that's quite the case. Anyway, crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, for those who love his appearing. Number 4, there's a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 2 to 4. The idea of receiving a crown of glory would be for those who would be a good shepherd. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you teach a class. Maybe you have been or are a pastor. And it's those who would be diligent as they feed the flock, that what they teach and the feeding that they do is accurate and good, that it's good fodder that you give to the sheep. So there's a crown of glory for that also. Number 5, this helps us with number 3 because it's a crown of righteousness. And the crown of righteousness also is for those who love his appearing. And that's why, to me, it's a little bit funny when folks will say, well, no, that's not, crown of rejoicing can't be for that. Okay, if it isn't, this is. And there's no question about this one. There's a crown of rejoicing for those who love his appearing. And I want to close tonight with this. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Wouldn't it be good one day if all of us would hear from the Lord when we get to be with him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I have used this illustration before, but this is something that really stood out to me one day in particular. I had gone to I'd watched a softball game in a community that where we used to live. We had lived in Harvey Station for 4 years, I guess, and we were back in that area visiting, and I was invited to a softball game. I was watching the game, and there was one young guy who, he was light years ahead of all the others. In fact, I think all you needed was him, sort of. He was just so much better than all the others, and I made the comment about so-and-so, and a man came over to me, and he said, that's not so-and-so. I said, no? Who is it? He said, that's my boy. he didn't want me to think that it was this other fellow that was doing so well. And I thought, wouldn't it be good someday if the Lord would look at each of us and say, my son, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There are rewards for those who have done well. I'm at the place in my life today where I want to just say this. It would be great to receive a crown. It would be great to have something to place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want to ever to underestimate the privilege that it is to serve the Lord and to be a believer. If you're here tonight and you're a believer, your reward is the forgiveness of sin, the escape of hell, eternity with God, a God who loves you, a God who cares for you, a God who nurtures you, a God who indwells and lives within you and helps us. I think that damage has been done by those who would make us to be afraid to endure the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not looking forward to the loss of reward, and there is a loss, and there is a suffering. But the idea is, it isn't a place where believers look at each other and, hey, I beat you. Ha ha, want to see my crown? We'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It's just this. It's interesting because earlier on in 1 Timothy, Paul said, fight the good fight. Here he says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Thank you, our Father, for the few minutes that we've had. Thank you, dear God, that as we look through the Scriptures, we know that there are rewards, there are crowns. Father, thank you tonight that genuinely we, none of us really deserve a crown, but Father, that it is a privilege for us to be a part of the race, to be able to participate in the life of a believer. I pray, Lord, tonight as we think on these things that you would bless us in our heart of hearts and we'd be thankful for what we have in his name. Amen.